Those of you who are lost, it's a PlayStation 3 game. Okay. Ah, good. Goeie gemeente hierdie. Hulle weet nie wat PlayStation is. Okay, guys, he wasn't doing crochet club, book club, foot club. Foot club. There's actually people in Joburg that I know that has a foot club. They get together once a month and somebody does their feet and then they eat and it's a foot club. And God doesn't have anything against our foot club, books clubs, crocheting, whatever games, whatever we do. He has no issue with that, and neither do I, except with my husband's PlayStation, but that's a my thing. Jesus just knew that he couldn't carry on working the next day if he didn't spend time with his Father. He knew that. And we think we can. We forget that. Okay. So prayer was not a suggestion for Jesus, okay? He did not leave it open for discussion when he said, if you pray, not when you pray. And by the way, for that fast of yours, Jesus also said, when you fast, not if you fast. But that's another sermon for another day. Just leave it there for you. That part is for free. Okay, so the banner for us, our main culture, our identity for the house of God, Jesus stipulates, he quotes from Isaiah 56 verse 7 when he says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Not the party house, not the place where we fast all the time, just a house of prayer. That is what Jesus says. Okay, so it should be a Christian's identity and lifestyle. So I want to ask you today, is prayer a priority in your life? And if it is a priority in your life, is it the priority that it was for Christ? Then we're all going to say, no, not yet. And that's good. That's fine. Because I want to give you a couple of practical tips on how it can become a bigger priority in your life. How you can pray more. Most of us will say, I don't know, maybe for me, I would always like to pray more. You know, but it's difficult. So how do we pray more? It's like learning a new habit. It's I used the example last time, drinking water. We all always want to. Are you the same? I'm always trying to drink more water because I know it's good for me. but then I go and then I drink 2 liters of water, you know, in one go. And then tomorrow, I don't want to come close to water. It's terrible. We do the same with exercise. You know, I haven't exercised for months. So tomorrow, I'm going to run 7Ks. And then I'm so sore, I can't get up the next day. So, and then the day after, I run again 7Ks and then my knees are hurt and I just give up exercising. We do that. With prayer, the same thing. You're going to go home, feel convicted tonight, you're going to pray for an hour. You will fall asleep after 10 minutes. It will bore you to death. Honestly, I've tried that. It's not that exciting if you start with an hour at a time. Okay? I know there's people who can do it, but they start it slowly. So how do we pray more? Little bits at a time. You put the glass of water next to the tap. Every time you walk past it, you take a sip. Today, you maybe get to 500 ml. Tomorrow, maybe 500 ml. The day after, your body will tell you, I'm thirsty, and you'll drink more. That's how you make yourself thirsty. With prayer, the same thing. You just make just a little thing. When I get into the car, I'm going to, let's start with 1 minute. For the first minute, I'm not going to turn on the radio yet. I'm just going to pray. Okay? And you do that for a week. It's easy. You can do that. And before you know it, you won't even switch on the radio because you will just have created the ability to just talk to God for all that time that you're driving. It's a silly example, but pray before you eat. Not just bless the food. Actually pray for something. You know, the food in South Africa is pretty safe. But just, you know, you can bless the food, but pray for something. Just 1 minute. And make that a habit because, you know, we sit down and we pray, but we don't really pray before we eat. We just, you know, it's just a habit that we do. Little things. Pray at lunchtime, at work. I encourage people to mingle with the people that they work with. You know, we're supposed to be the salt of the earth and not to lock yourself somewhere and just pray the whole time. But you can pray the first 5 minutes of your lunchtime or a minute if 5 minutes is too long for you. And pray for the people that you're going to talk to now. And you'll see. It's going to become so much easier once you start little bits, little bits. Pray, I say pray when you're reading. You need to pray in the spirit if you want to pray when you're reading. Or pray when you're bored. You know, I often get my cousins are studying, and so often on their BBM their status is, I'm so bored, that I'm thinking, where do you live? How can you be bored? I mean, I never have time for anything. Is there anybody here that gets bored sometimes? Well, if you do, pray. For 5 minutes, at least. Okay. So, and then a lot of you will pray when you're cooking. I pray when I'm cooking all the time. People say I'm a good cook, but guys, I pray when I'm cooking. So, God helps me so often. Rick's wife prays with me. Whatever, little things you can, while I'm, and I'm saying, and usually you think, oh, I don't know what to pray. You know, what am I going to pray about? If you don't know what to pray about, talk to God about whatever you see. Okay? If you get in the car, whatever you see next to the road, when you start, stuff will come into your mind. God's going to talk to you about stuff. But if you don't know what, and if you can pray in the Spirit, that's the best thing. If you're driving, whatever, because we're just building up our spirits. Whenever I feel down, or whenever I feel like I'm not so strong in the Spirit, I just make an effort, like a renewed effort. Lord, not the radio on. While I'm cooking, I just pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. And then 2 days of that, and I'm up and running again, because I've strengthened my spirit. Okay, but we're going to talk about that later. So the second thing is soulish prayers. So I've established now, prayer is pretty important, and we need to pray more. Soulish prayers. James 4, verse 3 says, you ask, but you do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. And I thought, oh, Lord, that's not us. I mean, we really want to serve God, and we don't want to spend stuff on our pleasures. The Afrikaans says, sodat julle dit op julle wilste kan spandeer. It's nogal 'n wilde woord. But spend it on your pleasures. So what is soulish prayers? I asked God and it showed me it's anything that is not spirit inspired. Okay, even good things. Say for instance you're in a prayer meeting and you have some ministry, maybe the children's church or whatever, some ministry, something is on your heart and you carry that with you all the time and that's something that's really important. And God has got a specific mandate for that prayer meeting that night. But you cannot even hear God because you are just pushing this kiddies church thing. You know, whenever you get a charge, that's what you pray. And it's a good thing and it's from God. But is it from God for that night to pray about it? Because we carry our stuff that's important with us in our hearts, good things. And when we get together or when we go to God, that's what comes out. Okay, so that's a soulish thing if it's not spirit-inspired in that moment. If that's not what God wants to deal with. I'm trying to speak fast because I don't want you to keep it too long. Tell me if it's too fast, I can slow down. Another thing that makes us pray soulish prayers is pride or fear of man. We sit in a meeting or we pray with other people, you know, everybody has prayed except you. But there's a minute it's because you must also pray something. But why? If you haven't heard anything, you don't have to pray anything. You can just be there and listen and just pray in the Spirit. We so worried about what people might think, pride, fear of man, and then we just pray something. That's a soulish prayer if it's not Spirit-inspired, if you didn't hear from God. Another thing, the flesh is too strong. Okay, our flesh is often just too strong. We don't hear God. We need to pray in the Spirit more. Our spirit needs to be strengthened because then we will also hear God's word better. Jude 1 verse 20 says, but you, beloved, build yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. You can go to Foundation 2. What's the name now? It's got a new name. Community for a whole teaching on that. I can't do that tonight. If you're not sure about this praying in the Spirit thing, it's very biblical and it works. Okay. And another reason why people pray soulish prayers is simply because they do not know how to pray. Hosea 4 verse 6, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. We just don't know. So how do we learn to pray? Just quickly. Our focus in prayer should be a James 1:19 focus. Be quick to listen and slow to speak. Now you're going to tell me, but prayer is all about speaking. Yes, but it's a two-way road. It's about God speaking, you listening to him, and then speaking his word. What he says. Okay, so we need to hear what's on God's heart, ask him what he wants us to pray, and then speak about it. And when you go to him with something specific, I mean, we all have our lists. You know, we have stuff that we need to pray about to get peace. And that's fine. It's not soulish. We take it to God. Then you tell God all about it. Lord, this person, I know you tell me I should love her, but it's really hard. She did this and this and this and this again. So you tell God everything. And then you say, Lord, show me. What do you want me to pray? to pray for her? What do you want me to pray into the situation? Because you know, we come to God. Lord, please change this. Please make the road flat for me. Lord, please help me to do this. Please, please, please. And God is not doing anything. Because he's not interested in changing them or making the road flat. He's interested in speaking to you. But you don't hear him even. Because you're just going. And then we pray ineffective prayers. And we don't understand why God's not answering us. It's because you're just speaking. Okay, it's not God. Okay, so we need to hear him. Isaiah 55, verse 10 to 11. I'm going to read it, but you can write it down. I don't think it's up there. It speaks about the word of God. When he sends it out, it goes and it accomplishes the very thing that God sends it out for. That's why it's important for us to get the word from God and then to speak that. You know how much time you will save? You will actually have time for all your clubbing and things that you want to do, gaming and things. Because you will hear from God, you will speak it will be a done deal. You won't have to cry and cry and cry forever. Please, please, please. Okay. I think we must sound like toddlers sometimes. You know, I really get, I've heard you, mommy heard. It's, you know, the seventh, eighth, ninth time. Okay. So the voice of God. So I'm speaking about the voice of God all the time now, and you're like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Okay? What does that even mean? Is it an audible voice? Some people do hear God audibly every now and again, but if God spoke audibly to all of us all the time, I just don't think it will be practical. And God's quite practical. Okay, so he speaks to us. God's voice sounds like a thought in our minds. Okay, there's three kinds of thoughts that you should hear or will hear. It's God's voice, your own thoughts, and then the enemy's voice. Okay, if you hear more than three kinds, we have very good psychiatrists in Tigerberg. Please make an appointment. Because I don't think there should be more than that. The enemy might disguise himself in more voices. Okay, and it's difficult because the enemy doesn't sound like, I can't make a devil voice. But he doesn't sound like a devil. He sounds like, you know, an angel of the light. I must tell you this example. The second night that I went to listen to Amanda LaRue, I was really excited, but it was the third night that week that Jacques stayed at home so that I could, you know, go and be spiritual. So as I was getting into the car, handing Simon over and driving out, I felt there was a voice in my head. It was me thinking or whoever speaking. I felt shame. My poor husband. I'm not a good wife this week. I should just go home tonight. Just love him. Just give him some off time. You know, he's been such a good father. I mean, I've been to this lady's thing one night already. I don't have to go again. I really felt bad for leaving him another night. And I wanted to be a good wife. And it's all good. And then thank God for a strong spirit. Because then I just realized, no. I'm supposed to go. God wants me to hear what that lady's got to say. And then I just started praying for Jacques. Thank God for my awesome husband, and that he is such a capable father, and that he loves spending time with Simon. And I just started praying blessing over Jacques. Okay. So there was a very lovely voice telling me that I'm a bad mother for wanting to go. And if I didn't go, I wouldn't have known that the word God gave me was for... And I've shared this word in four or five places already. So it was a small voice that wanted to steal the word. Okay. So that's the voice of God. Practice makes perfect. We practice the voice. You mean God tells you something, you pray it, you see what happens. Okay, that was God. Okay, you can always test it against the word. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And we pray that over you tonight beforehand. Because the enemy will tell you, you don't hear God's voice. Whenever you feel like, oh, I need to hear a word, ne? Then you say John 10:27, I am Jesus' sheep. He says that I hear his voice. And the best part, I will do what he tells me. Just remember to just put that over yourself. Just declare that over yourself as well. Because we often hear his voice, but then we don't go out and do it. Okay. So how do we... We're still busy with learn how to pray. Learn from others. Okay. How will a child learn to talk if we never talk to them? Lida always tells me about Kadu that prays in the spirit. And you don't know whether he's praying in the spirit or whether he's just imitating. But it doesn't matter. That it's just the whole thing, that he knows that's part of the languages that we should be able to speak here. That's the language of the Spirit, and he's practicing. and he tells them, come all pray in the spirit. And then he prayed for me for a baby. Yes, so we're waiting for the baby. It's lovely. So, but we need to practice it. We learn from others. The church of God is there to protect, encourage, serve, and teach one another. Not just me and whoever's up here. You're supposed to teach one another. Okay, so pray with people. Go to intercession. Get a prayer partner. And you can have many prayer partners. On Tuesdays, I visit with Alida. Yes, we visit with the children and the cousins play with each other and we talk about whatever. And then we always spend some time in prayer for our families. So I know on Tuesdays, my mom and dad and the cousins, and they all get covered. On Wednesdays, I see my sisters-in-law. And then, yes, we pray for the other half of the family. And on Mondays, well, every now and again, Magriet and I, we pray for our kingdom stuff. So you can, because it feels so overwhelming, all the stuff that you know you need to pray for. And at intercession, I mean, we don't pray for our own stuff. We pray for the country and for Paul and for the kingdoms to advance, and it's the whole warfare. But, you know, I also want to pray for my husband and my child and, you know, my things, little thingies, that also needs to glorify God. So get a prayer partner and learn from each other. That's the way we learn. And it's, and then, you know, Wednesday's got it covered. And if you miss a Wednesday, next Wednesday will be fine. God knows. Then you can relax. You know it's going to happen. Okay, learn from one another. Cell, family, friends, wherever are two or more, God is there. Okay, and then unity equals authority. Praying with others are very powerful because not only does it help you to not focus on your own things, you know, if you pray with other people, then it's not so easy to just think about your own things. But the other thing that praying with other people do is it facilitates and creates unity in the body, and that is very important for effective praying. Okay, remember that God sees the bride as one body and we fitting into the body. Okay? So that's the next point that I want to talk about is division. Psalm 133 says, and division is probably the most destructive thing when it comes to effective prayer. Okay? Did you hear me? Division is probably the most destructive thing when it comes to effective praying. If we're not in unity. Okay, Psalm 133 says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Not just dwell together, but actually to be in unity. For the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Jesus prayed for the church in John 17. You can go read it before he went to the cross. He prayed for himself, then he prayed for the disciples, and then he prayed for all of us, for all the believers that's still going to come through the ages. And you guys, he prayed one thing. He prayed for unity. That's all. He prayed for unity. Verse 21, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us. That why? That the world may believe that you sent me. That's what's going to get the world if we start dwelling in unity. Then our prayers are going to be answered because we dwell in unity. Galatians 6:10 says, we did it last week. They preached about that in our church. And it says, so then, as we have opportunity to do good, let us do good to everybody, but especially to the household of faith. Because I want to talk to you about unity. Are you at peace? Are you at peace with yourself? What? I'm not important here. No, you are. Can you look in the mirror and walk away without being discouraged and feel hopeless? Can you look in the mirror and say, there is a reason that I look the way I look? God made me like this. There's a reason for it. Are you at peace with yourself? Okay? And there's wonderful books and counselors and people who can help you be at peace with yourself. We have lovely courses if you're not at peace with yourself. That's important. Okay, are you at peace with your husband and your wife? Who are married here? Can I tell the story? Oh, a couple of you. Let me tell the story. The other night, it's now a while ago because I use this example all the time. I felt it is a very good night for going to bed early. And I said so. And Jock says, yeah, no, I'll come now. But then he sits, he watched TV or it was PlayStation or something. Okay, I don't know. So I decided, well, I'll go to bed and wait for you. And eventually, he came. And then I thought, no, buddy, there's no way. I mean, I told you, we can go to bed early tonight. And then he spent the whole night in front of the television. And now he's ready to meet my expectation. I mean, doesn't work like that. So I turned my back, said like a slop. And right there, as I did that, the Holy Spirit convicted me and said, you are the cause for disunity in your house. Because when a husband and a wife comes together intimately, they declare to the heavens that they're in covenant. They declare that there's unity in that house, and God commands a blessing on that house. So I know you all agreed with me that I was right to turn my back, but God's standards is not our standards. God's ways are not our ways. And we want to live by his standards. So yes, I did repent, and there's unity in the house again. So... So are you at peace with your husband? Are you at peace with your children, your family, your fellow brothers and sisters? Guys, this church will go places if we live in unity with one another. If you can enjoy each other's gifts and not feel, why didn't I get to speak? Why can't I also have a gift? Because we see each other's gifts, but we can't enjoy it because we're envious, or we gossip, or we just don't like each other. And you know what? That's fine. We're different. Just go tell God you don't like that person and ask him to change your heart. He does that. I promise you, he does that. But we need to live in unity, because peace and unity brings God's order and blessing and power into your life. Okay, so if you live in godly order, the principalities and power starts taking notice. You know that authority thing? When you're in order and you speak, stuff happens, because they suddenly now go, huh? Because if you're not in disunity, in disarray, they don't really worry about you because you don't do any damage. Your prayers are ineffective. Okay. I'm going to explain to you your authority in the Spirit, because some people, your authority in the Spirit equals how big you are in the Spirit. Okay? It's yours. I mean, when we get born again, that moment you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Okay? All of Christ's authority belongs to you. You have it. Okay, so here is Christ. So this is Christ now. So here I get born, new believer. There. Okay? But all of this is mine. So I need to grow into it. Okay? So you have it, but by your obedience and growth, you will grow into that authority. Do you understand? So it's there for you. You need to grow into it. And living in unity makes you grow very fast. Okay? It's like a little child. If there's a big dog coming in here and the little child says, shoo, 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 the dog won't really listen, you know. But who's a big guy here? Anton. Jy's baie sterk en groot. Anton ook, verstaan? If he rises up, he won't even have to say anything and the dog will go. And that's how it works in the Spirit. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, it's against dogs up there. Okay, and if we live in our authority in Christ, then our prayers are effective, because we will maybe not even have to speak. We'll just have to enter a room and things will go. Okay, that's not supposed to be there. Okay, Ephesians 2 verse 4 to 7 says, God loved us while we were dead in trespasses. He made us alive, raised us up together with Christ, and made us sit in heavenly places with God. Okay, that is ours. Satan lies to you and he tells you you're not there. You are there. Okay, and if you doubt it, to speak that truth over your life. okay, so it's the key to authority, like I said, is unity. We cannot live selfishly and live in unity. The two are mutually exclusive. Okay? Because if you live selfishly, you live like this. You get offended, you're sensitive, you focus here. But if you live in unity with the church and with other people, you have to live humbly. Because you'll have to die to self all the time, and you'll have to consider others, and you'll have to live open. So the two can't go together. Right. Matthew 5, 9 says, peacemakers, those who live in unity, those who pursue unity, live in peace, will be called sons of God. I like that part. The others will inherit stuff, but we're actually sons of God who live in unity. Okay. 1 Peter 4, verse 7 to 8 says, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers, and above all, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Love will cover a multitude of sins. That's why unity is important. We will cover each other's shortfalls. That's why if there's Christians that's, you know, not there where they're supposed to be, we love them and we cover them and we train them and we teach them and we help them. We don't judge. We love them. We cover them. Okay, perseverance, the fourth point. I have to, when I first started sharing this message, I repented. Now I can share a testimony. Okay, Simon's sleeping. Simon is turning 3 next week, and I think in February this year, he slept through the night for the second time in his life. So that's about once a year. Yes. Yeah. We stopped counting now, but in the beginning of this year, it was the second time in his life. People didn't believe me, but yeah. I don't mean he wakes up once a night. It's lots of times. So we're pretty tired. And then God told me, you don't persevere in prayer. You pray for him, but nothing happens. Then why, you know, we just leave it. It's like throwing a boomerang. You throw the boomerang, and you throw it very hard, and then it doesn't come back. And you wait for a little, but it doesn't come back. And then you think, oh, maybe I threw it wrong, and you throw it again, and it doesn't come back. And then you turn your back and you leave because boomerangs doesn't work. Oh, in fact, I don't think they exist. That's what we do with prayer, okay? In that moment, we lose faith. The minute that we pray and nothing happens, we lose our faith, and then the enemy triumphs because then we stop praying. So when it comes to faith becomes very important when we talk about perseverance, because faith is the thing that will make you persevere, okay? Faith is the fuel of prayer. I said faith and prayer must marry. Faith and perseverance must marry. Then we will keep on praying, and then there will be fruit. Okay. So how do I keep the faith? Because faith will make me persevere. How do I keep the faith? Don't close the word. Okay. When you close the word, you forget what it says, and you start doubting it. We all know the word is the thing that stirs faith in us. Jock, it's such a, I told Jock the other day, love, you haven't spent time with the Lord for a while, and I don't feel so safe when you don't. So he said, no, he knows, he should, and the next morning he got up early, and he just spent a little bit, you know, read, and he told me that night, it's just so amazing. He read just this couple of scriptures, and as he went to work, he was so excited, his spirit was so stirred, he forgot the power of the word. You know, just when you leave it for a while, you forget. So we need to stay in the word to not forget, because it stirs faith. So practically, we need to not close the scripture. And then the other thing to keep faith is to ask God for revelation knowledge. Okay? Revelation knowledge. Ask God, what is the things that steals my faith? It might be sin. He might convict you of a sin that you need to repent of. It might be your own words. Did you know that Satan uses your own words to accuse you in the throne room of heaven? Did you know that? I'm going to paint you a picture. I'm not saying exactly like that. I haven't been in the throne room like that. But God is sitting on his throne, and here comes Esther's prayer. We want another child. We prayed long for Simon. He's there now. We want another child. It's been 3 years. But now we're praying again. Lord, thank you that you promised me another child. And then Satan says, God, she said on February 4th, 2009, I quote, I don't think God wants us to have more children. I think we should maybe just adopt somebody. And Lord, she said on March, maybe we should just, you know, go on with our lives, have one child, and just, you know, it'll be fine. That's what the devil does. Because with this mouth, we thank God for his goodness, we declare his works. And then we turn around, and with the same mouth, we say the opposite. And Satan remembers, he's a legalist, he remembers all those things that you said, and he accuses you with it in heaven. So we need to ask God to show us where we speak negatively, what we need to repent of, and help us to stop doing that. You know, we pray for the country,
But on Sundays after we've been through the report, then we just want to immigrate. Even Jacques and I this morning. Yeah, you know what they want to do now again, and this is going to happen. And I'm like, love, stop, stop. Because we were just discussing the downfall of the country. And I'm like, Lord, God is in here. He's got a plan. Let's speak his plan over the country. Okay. All right. So we need faith in order to persevere. And faith comes through the word and revelation knowledge. Another thing you ask revelation knowledge is for is the things that you pray. You bring things to God and you ask him for revelation knowledge. Because if you get a revelation knowledge, you're going to have faith for that thing. The first time around when I prayed to fall pregnant or to have a child, yes, I prayed and prayed and I was starting to lose faith. And then God showed me very clearly, Alida is going to have a son first. He told me, she's going to have a son first. And I was like, okay. And then I started praying for her to fall pregnant. And she did quickly, you know, they just fall pregnant like that. And then quickly. And then the minute she fell pregnant, I'm like, it's my turn, Lord. Okay, because he gave me revelation knowledge. He showed me, your sister's going to have a baby first, then it's your turn. So then I stopped praying for my stuff because she must have a baby first. So if you bring stuff to God, ask him to show you something about that situation. Ask him to, Noah knew about the flood. Why do you think he built the ark? That's why he was saved. Okay, so instead of, because we cry to God for stuff, but if we just ask him to show us something, then it will make faith. And then we will pray with faith. That's so beautiful. Satan can only build a stronghold of lies in your mind where the light of God's revelation has not shone yet. Because if you have a revelation about something, the devil can't lie to you anymore. That's what revelation does. It brings light and it's there forever. Other stuff you forget, but not revelation knowledge because God showed you. Okay, so ask God for revelation knowledge. Okay. And the more revelation knowledge you get, the more your armor will grow and you will become untouchable. I just want to give you one more example. This girl, last time I shared this word, this girl came to me afterwards. She visited me at my house and she said, she doesn't really want to come to me anymore because she really doesn't have faith that anything is going to work because she's been to everybody. She's been in the church for years and years and years. She's done internships. She's facilitated all the foundations. She's done the Bible school, the whole deal. She's been saved for years, ever since school. Her parents do marriage preparation. They're like, you know, the family. She's never in her life experienced God's presence or heard his voice. She's not sure of her salvation. She's responded to altar calls so many times, she's lost count, and nothing has happened to her. Can you imagine what's going on in her mind? And I'm like, I don't know what to do. Did you speak to this one? Yes, I did. Have you told that one? Yes, I have. I'm like, Lord, if they are giants in the spirit, if they can't sort it out, what are we going to do? But now, you know, I can't send her home. She came to me, and what are we going to do? I was like panicking. And then I said, well, come back in a month's time, and then, you know, we're going to think of something. And I gave her some scriptures, and I just said, just start speaking the word over your mind. Just do that. She said, well, she doesn't think it's going to work. You know, she's tried so many times, but she did it. She did. She actually did. And then I went around and went to everybody I know. Ross and this and this. And I asked everybody, what should we do? What should we do? This is the problem. What should we do? And everybody had a different idea. No, she must get baptized again. And the funny thing is what got me is she prayed in the spirit. So I'm like, Lord, is that a tongue of the devil? Is that you? You say you won't give us a rock? I was very confused. So everybody says, no, she must get saved again and baptized again. And somebody else said, no, this. And everybody had a different plan. And then my dear friend Sonia, who lives in Joburg, who's not even in our church, she's in another church, she's great. I said, Sonia, I visited there and I felt I must ask her what to do. You know, I've asked everybody. She says, Esther, just fast and ask God what you should do. And I'm like, obviously. I felt so bad. I'm like, sorry, Lord. And I told this girl, listen, we're going to fast. Okay, for a week, we're going to ask God. And I thought, Lord, I'm never going to make a week because I felt 7 days. And God said, no, you don't have to fast everything. Fast sugar and coffee. I can do that. So here we go. In her exam, we're fasting. And she doesn't hear God's word. Look, she doesn't hear his voice. So it's all up to me. I have to hear him because she doesn't. So every day I go walk and I pray. And the first 2 days I could go walk and then it started raining. I couldn't go walk anymore. So
Because that's when I prayed for her. You know, I have to pray for other things at other times. So then, and then God showed me. He showed me she's saved. He showed me there's like a shadow that surrounds her that pretends to be God. He's comforting, but he's keeping her blind and deaf. And I asked him, okay, Lord, what's the thing's name? Because now I'm starting to tremble because now I have to cast out the demon and I don't know how to do that. And then God says, no, he's the nameless one. I'm like, that's very helpful. And then God spoke to me more. He said, he's the one that pretends to not be there. And God told me, when she gets delivered, he will not manifest because he's going to want to come back and tell her I never left. And God showed me all these little details about this thing. And I'm like, okay, Lord, but now we need to deliver her. Starting to shake, phone the office, we need to deliver somebody. And then I felt, God said, no, the seventh day, you must do a full fast because this is like Jericho, it needs to be different. That day was difficult because we went to friends that cooks really nice food. In any case, but then the seventh day we did a full fast and I saw that next day in the church and I'm now ready. We're going to do a deliverance tonight. But I felt, it's Jericho, Lord, the walls must just come down. I don't have to do anything. And at the end of the worship, I turned around and she had tears in her and she came to me. She said, for the first time tonight, I felt God's presence. And God delivered her like that. She came to me the other day when I was starting to practice. You know, we don't just leave somebody. We're now practicing praying that she can hear God's word. But it's been 2 weeks. She's already discipled two other girls, just teaching her the little bits about speaking the word over yourself. And she's just on fire because she's got all the knowledge inside of her. She was just, you know, kept with this thing. So that's revelation knowledge. And I want to encourage you to ask God. Don't talk to all everybody else and then ask God. We could have saved a month. Okay, so last thing. Make prayer and repentance a lifestyle. Tanya Amanda said, faith and repentance strip Satan of his accusation power. All the things that I have spoken about tonight, all the things that you maybe feel convicted about to think, oh Lord, so many things. All those things can be fixed tonight in the throne room of our dad. That's why I say it's a word of grace. Because God wants us to come into his throne room so that he can help us, so that he can take away all these other things, so that he can speak to us anew. How do I do it? How do I deal with these things? How do I bring it before God if it surfaces in the week? If you go home now and there's a snake in your living room, what are you going to do? Shoot it. When are you going to do it? Immediately. I mean, okay, I'll get home and I'll scream first, and that's fine. If God shows you something, you should be shocked. I didn't know I have that, Lord. And then deal with it immediately. But you know what we do? God brings something up in our heart that he doesn't like, or that should go, or that keeps us from walking in fullness. And then we go, I'll deal with it tonight, Lord, when I have Bible study. You know, I'm first going to have coffee with my friends, then I'm going to cook at home. And you know, next time I go home to you, I'm going to deal with it. And I'll bite you on your ankle. Dan lê jy 2 weke en dan moet iemand jou weer counsel om daar uit te kom. Okay, deal with it immediately. Deal with thoughts, attitudes immediately. This is not from God. I rebuke and I submit to God. I love that scripture. Submit to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. And we need to start doing that practically. That's why I say part of that girl's breakthrough was the fact that she went and she actually read the scriptures over herself all the time. And she said the first week, she just did it. Didn't feel like anything. But when she came to me, after a month, I could see there was a fire. She was excited. She knew something was going to change. She said, she doesn't know how, but she knows this time it's going to change. And it's the word that she kept reading over her. Okay. Deal with it immediately. Pray in the spirit. Make prayer cards. Put the scriptures up. There's so many things. Ask God to give you something practical to do. Sing. Please, guys, sing. God speaks about songs of deliverance. If you wake up with a song and it's not baby, baby, then sing it. I'm thinking, I don't know why that is in my head. I'm sure none of you listen to him. Okay. Okay, and if you say you'll pray for somebody, I'll pray for you. Do it immediately. Stand in the street and say, let's pray for you right now. Otherwise, you know, all those prayer debts that you said you're going to pray about, they're going to heap up and they make you feel guilty. And Satan reminds you, you haven't prayed for that, you haven't prayed for that, you are a terrible Christian. Just pray for people immediately. Some any straat, wherever you pray for them. Okay, now I'm on a roll. I'm almost done. Okay. James 5 verse 11, says, confess your sin, your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another. Why? That you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Okay, so this repentance thing is key so that our prayers can be effective. Okay, so tonight, you can repent of not having prayer as a priority as it should be in your life. You can ask God to show you, give you revelation, how to make it right. What should you do? Where is there time in your day that you can give 5 minutes to make yourself hungry for praying more? Because I can't give you 5 tips. I can, but I mean, it's my tips. You have a relationship with God. That's the point of the church and the kingdom, that we learn to walk with God ourselves. Okay. You can repent tonight of praying soulish prayers. You can ask your Father to give you the Holy Spirit anew and afresh to teach you to hear His voice. Tonight you can repent of not persevering. You know that thing that you gave up hope, that you're not praying for anymore? You can repent of that tonight. You can start afresh. Tonight, you can ask Him to remind you of all the promises He's given you so that you can remind Him again. Okay? You can repent tonight if you sow disunity in your house or in the church or in your cell. Why do I want you to repent? My favorite scripture in the Bible. I don't think you're supposed to have a favorite scripture, but I have one. Acts 3 verse 19. Repent therefore and be converted, so the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. That is what this message is all about. God wants you to bring these things before Him. Say, Lord, I know my prayers are not effective. This is my sin. Or this is the thing that I'm not getting right. Because God wants to refresh you. He wants to bring refreshing. I have one more story, then I'm done. Can I quickly tell it? It's a story about the hormones, the medicine. It's just an example again of how God taught me to. So now we've visited the gynees, because you must pray if you want children, but if you don't fall pregnant, then I think, you know, you can see a doctor as well and just pray that God will bless the doctor. So we went to the doctor and he gave me this medicine that's going to make me make 2 eggs every month so that our chances are double. But there's drawbacks to this medicine. It makes you moody. A biggie quiet, the doctor gesê. Now, I am not a moody person. Well, I may be moody, but I don't get angry. We don't. In our house, Jacques and I, we never fight. We really never fight because we both are peacemakers and we both don't like conflict. So things will stay in the cupboard for years, but, you know, we will live in peace. So I told him. Lina and Rick is a great example to me because they're actually sorting stuff out. So I told Jacques, we're going to have to schedule proper fights so that children can see how do you solve conflict. That's how peaceful we are. Very peaceful. So so now I'm on this medicine. But it's this week. Oh, I wanted to go to the Hillsongs conference. Who went there? There was this color conference. I know my sister went. The Hillsongs conference that weekend. And that time I really felt God said, don't go this weekend. You need to stay at home and just minister to your husband. He was going through a tough time. He worked really hard. And I know he just needed some free time. And then, you know, he's looked after Simon so often through all the other stuff that I did. So now it's his time. This weekend, I'm not going to just be a good wife. But that weekend, my dear, I wanted to hit him all the time. I was so upset with him. He couldn't do anything right. And then I was crying every 10 minutes, like a crazy person. And we invited the family over for rugby because that's Jacques' favorite thing when his family comes over for rugby. And I remember cooking their food and thinking, now I have to cook for all these people that you invited and you are sitting in front of the television. And the whole idea was that he could just relax the weekend.
And then he comes in and he asks, can I do something? And then I'm like, no! But actually, you know, but I was so upset. And for the first time in my life, I slammed a door. I slammed my bedroom door. For the first time in my life, I screamed in the pillow. I screamed in the pillow. I remember Jacques told me that, like, sometime during that day, he was like, he took Simon away, and he was like, yeah, he said, we are not your enemies. And he just tried to keep Simon away from me, and he didn't know what to do with me. And now I'm thinking, I know it must probably be this medicine, but I'm so upset with him, and I'm so angry, and I'm just completely losing it. I'm just losing it. And this whole plan for the weekend is just gone because my husband is so terrible and whatever. So now I go lie in my pillow and I scream in the pillow and I says, Lord, you must help me. And I'm crying. And I just feel, just get out of the house. Just humble yourself and ask God to just take Simon for 10 minutes because, you know, I'm busy with him all the time and he's doing nothing. So now I go out and I said, can you just take Simon for 10 minutes? I need to go jog. And Jog says, no, it's fine. And I go. So I run around the corner and immediately I start, Lord, I forgive my husband. So now I'm, you know, because Jock's the wrong one here. So I'm forgiving him. And the minute I started forgiving him, I thought, no. It's like the Holy Spirit took over. And I started repenting. I just started crying, but this time for real reasons. I said, Lord, I'm so sorry that I allowed the doctor's word and hormones, this medicine, to just dictate my life. I'm so sorry that I have missed your whole plan for the week. I just started repenting. And it just came out. I was like, for the first time I saw the situation as it really was, and I just repented. I didn't run at all. For 20 minutes I just repented, and I just asked God. And I came home, and I literally went on my knees, and I kissed my husband, and he was like. Because, you know, it was like this now. And he's, what's going on? And I just repented. I said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I have allowed emotions and a doctor's verdict and whatever to just rule me. And I just repented. And it's been 4 months later, and I have complete victory over that. That thing, that anger, that whatever. I don't lose any weight, though. But that other stuff. Okay. So if we're willing to just deal with whatever, immediately, God will come through for you. And I didn't have to deal with it every month. It was that one time that I repented, and God just changed it. I've been using the medicine ever since, but I had no drawbacks, nothing. So, times of refreshing. God refreshed me there. He changed the whole situation around. So I want to encourage you now. I'm going to pray, but I want you to come forward. I don't actually even want to pray for you. I want you to come forward and, or just wherever you are, to bring the stuff before God and to let him refresh you. And if you struggle, then we'll pray for you. But if you are comfortable to just walk into the throne room tonight, God wants to just take this stuff away and refresh you. Okay. Father God, I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, that you are very, very, very faithful and that you love us, Lord, so much more than we can ever imagine. And that you want our prayers to be effective, Lord, that you want us to rule and reign in the earth, and that you want us to go out and to change the world with you, Lord. And you know that we are so bogged down, God, and that the enemy is strong, and you know all of that, Lord, and you've made a way for us, Lord. You've made a way into your throne room where we can come every day freely. Every day we can come to you, Lord God, any time of the day, anywhere, because of Christ. And we want to thank you, Jesus, for that bridge that you made onto the Father's lap. Father, I pray tonight, Lord God, that people will have the courage to just step into your throne room tonight, Lord, and to bring to you whatever it is, Lord. We want to repent, Lord, of not having prayer as a priority, Lord. We want to repent of thinking it's such a difficult thing, Lord. It's not, we know it's not, but it's, we just want to come to you and ask us to refresh us, Lord. Lord, we want to repent of bringing this unity, Lord, of being self-focused, of praying soulish prayers, Lord God, of not hearing your voice. We want to repent of it because you say we do hear your voice, Lord. We want to repent, Lord, of not opening the word, of not living in the revelation knowledge that you have there for us. And we know that you're here tonight, Lord God, to refresh us so that we can go out and teach and train others. But
pray that you will come and do that tonight. If there's anybody here that wants to pray in the Spirit and that doesn't pray in the Spirit, please, I would like to pray with you tonight.